is Wyman and Bob
on Seattle Sports, powered through the Alaska Airlines Studio.
Streaming live on the Seattle Sports app and at seattlesports.com.
Now, here are your hosts, Dave Wyman and Bob Stelton.
Well, we continue live from Peoria. Mariners spring training well underway. And how about this, Dave? We've got the man with the plan, the man who makes it all happen out there on the field, our buddy, our pal, the one, the only Scott Services with us. How are you, man?
Man with the plan. I don't know about that. Listen, we are getting towards the end of camp. We can see the light at the end of the tunnel here, and we're really excited to get ready to get back to Seattle for opening night.
How much do you change from spring training to spring training in terms of how you approach it? Do you alter it based on the personnel? Or are you pretty steadfast in how you approach it each season?
Every year has been a little bit different. And I think it is driven by your roster and how locked in you are to your roster. We've had some camps where we came to camp and we had open competition at multiple positions. This one's been a little bit different. We have a pretty good idea based on, you know, the team that we had last year, who we brought back. And that's exciting when you know the personalities already, so you can kind of hopefully go to the next level. And we got plenty to get after and a lot of things to focus on to get better. We had a nice year last year, but the focus of our camp has been on getting better for a number of guys, and it's been a good camp so far.
How would you characterize this group of guys this year?
We've got personality. I thought we had personality last year. I think we've added to it. I think guys knowing each other. When you go through a season like we did last year, it really binds the team together. You know, like, got off to a rough start. We started the 14-game win streak. We had a lot of things go our way in the second half. We had a great run through the playoffs. It came up a little bit short, but it really brings and kind of galvanizes the group together. So it's nice. You've kind of, like, already taken care of that. Guys are getting on each other early in camp, just like we left off at the end of the year last year, which is great to see. And, of course, we've got some additions. You know, some guys have come into our team, Teoscar Hernandez, Colton Wong, A.J. Pollock. Guys have just fit in very naturally. They're veteran players. They've been in winning situations before, and it's a good vibe around our camp right now.
Was there a different level of anticipation for you to get here based on the success of last? You got over the hump. You win a playoff series. Were you, I don't know, maybe more excited? Like, I can't wait to get back to this.
I definitely believe so. I think all of our players were. You know, when the season ended the way it did, it was such an empty feeling. We were playing really good baseball, and it just suddenly comes to a screeching halt after 18 innings one day. It's all over with. So I think when the reality of last year sets in, you're like, okay, how do we get after this again? We are a very hungry group, and we're ready to take the next step.
Jared Kelnick has been really exciting to watch.
That's what I hear.
Yeah.
That's what I hear, yeah. There's been a lot of talk. I don't know why, but there has.
You've been asked about this a few times, but we haven't heard it yet.
Yeah, I know. It's all good.
He's got the new bat, a little bit new stance. What have you seen that's like his approach at the plate that's so different?
Yeah, I think it's stuff maybe you can't see on the outside. You can see a different kind of bat. You can see a different setup at the plate. I think the stuff inside is a little bit different. And what's going on, you know, upstairs, his approach to his at-bats, to his game, is consistent, as good as I've seen ever out of Jared. And, you know, we've seen had good streaks out of Jared before where he has a good 10-day stretch or whatever. He really swings the bat well. But then when it starts to slide off the rails a little bit, we want to fix everything and tweak everything. That's not Jared Kelnick right now. I think he really believes in what he's doing at the plate. He's having very quality at bats against high-end pitching. There's still going to be some swing and miss. There's still going to be some chasing the ball out of the strike zone at times. It happens to all players, but he's making adjustments quicker than he has in the past. And he doesn't like just jump off into a different bucket when it doesn't work for him for a day or two, which are all really good signs. So the one thing that doesn't get talked about enough is how he's played defensively. It has been awesome in the outfield. It's as good a left field or anywhere that we put him in the outfield as we've ever seen him play. He's running great. He's just doing all the things that we knew he could do, and now he's got to carry it over into the regular season.
That's something we talked about last year, because when he filled in for Mitch in right field, he was struggling at the plate, but he didn't take it into the field with him. I thought he played brilliantly in right field and left, as you said, and I thought that was a huge thing for somebody who looks like they really beat themselves up when it's not going well at the plate to not carry it into the field for a young guy. Is that kind of unique?
It is, and he does pride himself in his defense, and I do think he's more comfortable in the corners, and we've got a great situation in center field with Julio, and you'll see Jared go back and forth from right to left, and he'll be in right field someday where we DH Teoscar Hernandez, but I'm really happy with the way he's playing and how he's engaging with his teammates and making fun of himself and joking around in the clubhouse. It's just a different vibe around him this spring.
Yeah, he's a little looser, it seems like.
Yes.
Well, and the thing we noticed, too, his teammates seem to love him. I mean, you know, he's a very serious dude, but everybody's different, right?
Yeah.
And it seems like they accept that.
But. They do. They accept it because he's a good player.
Yeah.
He's got a ton of talent. Everybody wants to win, and they know if we get a productive year out of Jared Kelnick, it really helps our chances. So, but it's been really good this spring. I'm excited to get to opening day with him in our lineup.
You know, as baseball fans, we're so conditioned with spring training to go. It's spring training.
Exactly.
Whether it's good or bad. Don't worry about spring training or don't get too hyped at spring training. With him, I've been saying, I feel like it could be different just because he is a guy who's so intense and has struggled and is trying to find that. Just seeing the ball land in the grass or go over the fence, I think maybe it means more to him. Am I overstating that? Do you buy more into this?
Or every player needs to get some results at some point. You know, you can make some adjustments with your approach and how you're thinking about the game to physical adjustments in the box. Eventually, you need to get some results, and he's had plenty of results. So we see the approach, the difference in the personality and how that's working out. We see the difference in the mechanics in the box. And at the end of the day, he's getting really good results. So, again, don't want to get too far ahead of ourselves, but I'm really, really excited. I keep saying
there's
it.
There's the qualifier, right?
Yeah, it really should. And our fans should be excited about it. I know there's been a lot, you know, a fanfare around Jerick since we acquired him in the trade. And, you know, when he got brought to the big leagues at a young age. And, you know, were we doing the right thing? Were we doing the wrong thing? I think, you know, he's a very gifted player. He's very talented. And I think it's time that he starts producing. And I think he agrees.
Yeah. What about pleasant surprises during the spring?
I think the depth of our pitching. I knew coming into camp, I liked our starting rotation. I thought we were in the industry. It is undervalued. The quality of our starters from Luis Castillo, Robbie and what George and Logan bring. Marco's at an excellent camp. Chris Flexen is throwing the ball outstanding. And then there's this group of the next wave of pitching behind that. The Bryce Millers, the Brian Woos. I mean, Emerson Hancock. Like, we've got pitching. And that's really what's allowed us to win as many games as we have the last few years is that we really lean on our pitching and our defense. And excited about what we have in the big leagues. Really excited about the next wave that's coming behind them because you can never have enough pitching.
How does Flexen fit? I love his consistency. I feel like you know exactly what you're going to get. He's just he's not dominating, but he's just so consistent. He's looked great in spring. Is he your long relief guy, or how does he fit with everything that's going on right now?
I think it is yet to be determined, I guess, is he's come into camp and he's done exactly what he needed to do. He's performed. He's pitched really well. He's thrown more strikes. He looks more like Chris Flexen we saw a couple years ago. Last year, he struggled getting in the strike zone consistently as much as we've seen the year before, but he's had no issues with it this spring. He's a quality Major League starting pitcher. We are not going to carry a six-man rotation. So if it doesn't end up in the rotation, he will probably be in our bullpen, and I know he can help us out there as well.
I saw Tom Murphy walk by. He looks like a linebacker.
Now, he just ordered smaller shirts, Dave.
Is that what it is?
Yes. He showed up into camp day one. I said, what, mediums is all they have for you? Well, I mean, he is yoked. This guy's like, he should be playing middle linebacker. I heard we got some openings up there. I don't know.
Yeah, well, they did sign a couple guys. Okay. But that's what Bob does, too, by the way. That's why he looks
small shirts. That's right. That's right. I'm wearing one of Tom's shirts.
You're not, but that's okay.
But does that give you a little bit of, I mean, you were a catcher, and, you know, you really look good at catcher right now, especially with the young guy. And I mean, when's the last time it's been this set?
I think it's one of the things that I talked about looking from the outside at our team. You look at like competitive advantages. How do we line up? I think we have a competitive advantage in center field. I think Julio's an elite player. You know, you look at other positions around the field, and I think we're solid. We have a lot of really good players, but the combination of catching is really intriguing to me with what Murph brings and what we saw Cal do last year. I think they're both really smart. They do a great job handling our pitching staff. They both have got they can do a lot with the bat. They both got power. I think the combination of both is a great luxury to have because you don't have to run one guy into the ground where you play him 6, 8, 10 days in a row. It's going to be kind of a mix and match with those two guys. Obviously Cal can switch hit, which is just another tool he has on his belt, but it is a really nice situation to have. Like I said, the biggest thing that they do for us that doesn't always go noticed by our fans is what they do with our pitching staff, what goes on behind the scenes. These guys are as prepared as any catchers I've ever been around. And we take about all the information and all the data that's accessible to our players. And it's only as good as their ability to understand it and then put it in play in the game. Mm. And these guys can process it and understand, okay, that doesn't matter. That number isn't going to help us in the game, but this number might. with a Logan Gilbert or George Kirby or a Luis Castillo. So they can process it really good, and then their ability to put it in play on the field, it's awesome to watch.
You know, we've been watching the WBC, which has been a lot of fun, but I picture you and Jerry at home when Mariner players are out there just wringing your hands going, please don't get hurt. We've seen with Edwin Diaz. We saw Jose Altuve. I mean, is there a part of you just going, yeah, I'm rooting for my guys, but for the love of God, don't get hurt out there.
Yeah, we lived it in 2017. You know, we lost the Drew Smiley situation when went south when he got hurt at the WBC. And, you know, anytime you have that many, you know, high-end quality players involved, somebody's going to get hurt. There's something that's going to happen, unfortunately. And I do think, you know, I understand why MLB has the event. You're trying to promote the game around the world. And the excitement around the game with the best players is awesome to watch.
Yeah.
The emotion these players are playing with is fantastic. And it does really suck you in as a fan. I just we're in for the long game. You know, it's a full 162 games. You hate to lose anybody, but the players really enjoy it. There is a lot to be said for that. They are really fired up and enthused about it. I hope the USA finds a way to win the whole thing, but it'll be interesting here the next couple of nights. But it has been a good event. But at the end of the day, you kind of know something's going to happen along the way.
Do you watch a little tense?
Think it's curious. You know, when you're watching the game the other night, and it seemed like it was current and former Mariners. It was like every guy that walked to the plate. Oh, yeah, we had that guy in 18. We had that guy in 17. We had Gene Segura and Robinson Cano and Ketel Marte and Eddie Diaz. They were all out on the field,
yeah.
You know. And it speaks to the volume of talent players that we've had come through here. And the fact that, you know, there are a lot of international players that we have had, which I enjoy managing and being around those guys. I think they add a lot, not just on the field, but in the clubhouse.
How much better is it for you and your players and everything with the pitch clock and everything? You know, now that you've had almost a full spring in, you can project that forward. Like, you know, Julio was talking about, you're able to get to the plane half an hour if you have, you know, you have a getaway day or whatever, half an hour earlier. Is that all really coming into focus?
I think it will, Dave, as we get going on this thing. There has been an adjustment period about the pitch clock, and everybody thought it was going to affect the pitchers. I think it's affected the hitters a little bit more. They're a little bit more of a hurry to get into the box. They don't have much time to process. Okay, what was that pitch that was just thrown to me? What is he going to throw to me now? All that happens much quicker. Yeah. So I think hitters are a little bit more in the swing mode. Okay, so the pitch clock has been a little bit of an adjustment for the hitters. I think the biggest change you're going to see is the no-shifting rule. You're going to see more base hits. You're going to see more action, more base runners, which baseball needed. You know, we need more hits.
Yeah.
You know, it's hard to get on base, and so that'll affect the game some. The bigger bases and the base stealing and the lack of pickoffs and stuff, we really haven't seen the impact that's going to have on the game yet. I think we'll know more once we get through a month of April. Because a lot of times the guys who steal a lot in the regular season aren't stealing in spring training. They don't want to get hurt. They don't want to get banged up. You'll see the young guys take off, but kind of like the gamesmanship and kind of understanding how to use the clock to your advantage on the bases, we don't quite know how that's going to play out yet. But I think the rule changes are good. They're good for the game. The one thing that has been talked about, the games are much quicker. The guys will spend less time on their feet. So it may allow us to bring guys back and play them a little bit more regularly instead of, oh, he has to have a day off here. Last night's game was only 2 hours and 10 minutes. Like, let's go.
Yeah.
You know, versus the 3 hour and 10 minute game where you're out there and dragging the next day. So you could see some benefit to that.
Yeah, we were talking about it yesterday watching the game going, you don't notice the bases are bigger until somebody puts their foot on it.
Yeah.
And then somebody standing there, then you see you compare it, you're, okay, is bigger.
It's a big pizza box. You know?
Yeah,
it's that 18-inch pizza,
but
you got to have out
do you
there.
Think
it's,
that,
it's like it's on the field.
Does that change your aggressiveness maybe during the season? Like, maybe I'm going to be more aggressive in sending guys?
You got to have the personnel to do
giving
it.
Them
you're not going to steal it second base because the bases is 3 inches bigger. You got to have the personnel to do it. And the guys who can run, and we've got some of those guys.
Yeah.
You know, the Hagerty's and the Julio's and the Kelnick's, they're going to be aggressive on the bases. And I think it will help. On the flip side, we got to do a better job of controlling the running game from our pitching staff. You know, we got to pay more attention, you know, to mixing up our times and just not giving up that free base. So, again, I think we'll have a better feel once you get to the end of April and all that stuff.
How do you feel about like your sort of utility guys like Hagerty and, you know, guys like that? I know Dylan Moore's back.
Yeah, a little bit concerning just because Demo, like, he's my ultimate security blanket. He can put him anywhere on the field and he's going to do a good job. And now, you know, he's not going to be with us at the start of the season with the injury setback he had with the oblique issue. So, you know, the one thing that Sam Hagerty has not done very much is stand at shortstop. And that's kind of like that allows you to be the super utility guy if you can actually play shortstop. So, you know, we put Hags over there yesterday. We give him 5 or 6 innings. We'll play him a bunch here the last week, try to get him comfortable there. And it's not so much he's going to get a ton of starts at shortstop. It's just that something happens during the course of the game, and you got to put him in.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? He can fill in for JP if something does happen. So, you know, we'll give Hags opportunities. Cooper Hummel's had a nice spring. Cooper's not a shortstop. He's a corner guy and a catcher. But, you know, we've got options. We've got guys we'll continue to look at here over the last 6-7 days.
See your first baseman myth there. Are you out there on the field? What's your rollout?
Yeah, I love to throw batting practice, but I don't waste all my bullets in spring training. I try to keep them to the regular season. So this is the time of spring that I'm getting my arm in shape, getting ready to go when the season gets going. But, yeah, it's fun to be out here. Spring training is about the only time that I kind of miss playing. Once the regular season starts, I don't miss it because it's really hard to play this game.
Well, Scott, we love talking to you, man. We appreciate you coming by, and we couldn't be more excited for the season. Thanks so much.
Sounds good. One shout-out I do want to give. We have seen more Mariners fans from the Pacific Northwest out this spring training we've ever seen since I've been here. Certainly there's a lot of excitement around our team, but just the whole region and the fans that come down with their kids. And, you know, spring training is just awesome. Players are accessible. They're signing, you know, autographs and doing things like that. But there's a vibe. There's a vibe around our team and our fan base, and it's been great to see.
We're excited. Awesome. There you go. There's Scott Service. We had that conversation with him on Monday. We're able to tape him on Monday, obviously, before the conclusion of the WBC. But really good to hear from Scott Service, another guy you could just sit there and talk to forever. Just, yeah. You know, lots of information. And he's another guy that seems enthused, excited about what's here and what he's got to work with in this team.
Yeah, I was just watching him walk around with Chris Peterson, former UW Husky coach, and, you know, just, yeah, it's interesting. I was telling Adam Ray that he's really interested in football. He uses a lot of references and stuff like that, which I think is really cool. But
problem is, he is a Packers fan.
Yeah, that is the problem. Yeah. That is a problem. Although I think, you know, Schneider's from that area, so
yeah.
I think he can appreciate that a little bit. But yeah, he's excited, and it's different than other years. I mean, you could kind of hear hesitation in his voice the last couple of years of, you know, we're gonna work hard and get this. I mean, I feel like there's just an expectation here, which not in a cocky way, but in a really good, confident way.
Yeah, without question. And you hear it from him. You hear it from the players. It's very cool. It's very infectious to listen to and to hear, and you just get you fired up for the season. I was just standing over there watching Robbie Ray do his bullpen. It's amazing how loud that grunt is.
Well, and I'm wondering if our texters can hear that, because powered by Mac and Jack's Brewing Company, the text line 866-979-3776, if you can hear Robbie grunting over there. But man, that is impressive, because that he walked by Bob, and that is a big, powerful dude.
Yeah,
and he's over there throwing as hard as he can. Well, and that ball just disappears.
And for those of you watching on the stream, you can see there's looks like a giant TV set up right next to where he is. And he's got a big video screen giving him his spin rate and arm angle, all this stuff. And, you know, it's very – the technology is amazing. But you see him, he throws the pitch, and then he'll look at the screen as he just threw the pitch there. And now he takes a look at the screen and gives him everything you need. How hard did he throw it? What was the spin rate? What was the angle? What was this? What was that? There's all kinds of information. And Jared Kelnick's in there hitting very loud shots off the off that advanced batting machine they've got in there.
Sounds like a gun firing over there.
It sounds like very solid contact.
And then standing right behind Robbie Ray is Luis Castillo.
Yeah.
And just an impressive-looking athlete. And guys are watching each other. And, you know, I remember asking one of them, I can't remember who it was, do you get feedback from your mates there, the running mates that, you know, in the starting rotation? Absolutely. They sit there and watch each other and, you know, ask each other, hey, watch me, and, you know, see if you see anything. So, yeah, really a lot of stuff going on. We just had Perry Hill over here working with Cooper Hummel. And
Sam Haggerty. With the first baseman's mitt, by the way.
Yeah.
Which was weird. I hadn't seen that with Haggerty before.
Right. And then, you know, the other thing is just it was all about footwork, you know, how he placed his feet, his angle, and he was coaching him up. You know, good job on that one. No, he's over there correcting him. It's just very cool. And a lot of it has to do with footwork.
Yeah. Now he's over there coaching Shannon Dreher.
Yeah.
So it's going to take a little more work. She's, you know, her footwork's not quite where Cooper Hummel's is or Sam Haggerty, but she's making progress. I think we're happy with where she's at. All right, our thanks to Scott Service. Meanwhile, there was a huge Seahawks presence at Ohio State's Pro Day today. We'll talk about what that may mean. Coming up with Wyman and Bob, this is Seattle Sports on 710.
Wyman and Bob.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studio.
On Seattle Sports and the Seattle Sports app.
There's so much going on out here at spring training. It is Wyman and Bob live from the complex in Peoria, Arizona. Seattle Sports on 710 during the commercial break. Just standing over there watching the batting practice.
Yeah.
The batting cages with that. It's impressive. It's impressive to see what's going on back there and how hard those machines are throwing the ball. And they've got the I always forget the name of the machine with the video.
Traject.
Yeah. It's pretty cool looking.
Yeah.
It is really cool looking. And Kelnick was just crushing.
Yeah. That's what our correspondent Adam Ray told me that he was in there. He was in there crushing it. But
Adam's got full run of the complex all of a sudden.
I asked him if he could get us some water earlier.
He's like, yeah, I'll talk to the higher ups, see what they say.
Yeah. But, you know, that big black, it's a big screen, right?
And there's a hole right there. There's a hole where the ball comes out of, obviously. But, yeah, they've got it. You can put any pitcher you want, and it'll throw their pitch. You want to put Shohei Ohtani up there on the video, you can do it, and it'll mimic the movement of his pitches, the pitches he throws, all of that.
Yeah.
It's pretty intense.
Well, and the other thing that's impressive is just Robbie Ray. We talked about it, but, man, right behind us just grunting and throwing the ball really hard.
Really hard.
So, it's pretty cool.
Speaking of a guy that throws the ball really hard, Andrés Muñoz. We had a chance to catch up with him earlier. You're going to hear that conversation coming up at 5 o'clock. Just a really nice guy. I know you guys are probably saying, yeah, you say that about everybody. But once you listen to the interview, you'll realize it's true. Yeah. And that guy, that would be terrifying to stand in the box against him hitting 102 on the gun.
Well, he's a huge dude, too. He looks like a linebacker.
Yeah, he's basically a big guy, and he throws the ball so hard. So, yeah, it'd be fun to stand there, but I'd be afraid that one got away from him.
Yeah, and no thanks.
You'd never be the same again. Yeah, but, yeah, just very cool just to take this all in and, you know, watching these pitchers work with the technology here, watching the hitters work back there. So we'll continue to keep an eye on all of that. Our coverage of Mariners spring training is presented by Alaska Airlines and Kitsap Credit Union. Seahawks sent a full entourage to Ohio State's Pro Day today, which would lead some to believe they're interested in C.J. Stroud. And, you know, I think it's what we've talked about with John Schneider repeatedly. They're doing their homework on everybody. You never know what's going to happen in this draft. You don't know if somebody's going to slip to you out of nowhere, and you had no idea that they would possibly be there, and maybe you didn't pay a ton of attention, or you didn't do the homework you thought you should have because you thought you never had a chance at him. Also, there are other players from Ohio State that are projected to go in the first round. There's an offensive lineman, and there's a wide receiver as well. But do you read anything into that other than, hey, that's John just doing his homework?
Just doing his job. Yeah, I mean, I think they do that. I mean, the other thing is, yeah, you send that many people to Ohio State. He's not just looking at first and second rounders.
Yeah.
You're looking at guys that you're going to draft later that fill in your roster. You know,
yeah,
a guy like
point.
Travis Homer, you know, somebody like that, that you're going to get to, like I said, fill in the back end of your roster. So that's just, they're just doing their job. I think they do that with everyone. And why wouldn't you send a bunch of guys? Because you've got a lot of players at Ohio State. I mean, you look at Ohio State, you look at Georgia, you look at Alabama. I mean,
LSU.
There's like 10, 11, 12 guys, and not all of them get drafted, but there's also the whole free agency thing. You know, those signings. Look at some of the awesome free agent signings they've had over the years, like Doug Baldwin.
Yep.
So, yeah, that's kind of what's going on. Reading anything into it? No, I think the one thing would be weird is if they didn't have anybody there. You know, they're like, hey, I don't, you know, or they only had two or three guys there.
Right.
You know, it's not just about the first and second rounds. You know, when we dwell on that and look at it, and nobody's like, well, where's your mock draft for the fourth round and the fifth round? But, you know, they have all of that. They have their guys ranked. And the other thing, too, is you can always go back and you see, like, with John, his memory for recalling, you know, players and workouts and things that he's done. I know on the road, I remember Danny had a story one time. Danny O'Neill, I guess John, they were on the road. Danny was on the road. They were playing Detroit. I think, and on the road. And so I think I said on the road four times now, Bob. They were on the
road. Were they on the road, though?
Yeah, they were on the road. Okay. And so John had a rental car, and he had gone to, like, three different places, and, you know, Michigan, all these different schools. I don't know if he went to Michigan State, maybe Central Michigan, whatever. He's driving. He put, like, probably 800 miles on the car. And you know, Danny's like, here, you know, if you want this car, you know, return it, because he left and Danny stayed, and there's like all these wrappers on the floor and everything. I mean, John just works his tail off.
He's just power bars.
Yeah. not stopping and having a nice dinner. I mean, He's just going and trying to meet with people. But you remember those guys. So let's say they don't draft someone 2-3 years from now, you know, the guy gets cut or whatever. Then you're like, we've got all our work on him. This is what we thought about him. So, yeah, it's just exactly what his job is.
Well, and we talked to John, and we'll talk to him tomorrow, obviously on the phone, but the John Schneider show will happen tomorrow, as it does every Thursday. But we talked to him about just the importance of seeing these quarterback pro days happening right now.
Having the fifth pick in the draft is, you know, we gotta go see these guys throw in person and talk to more coaches, get more questions answered. Yeah, just, you know, trying to figure out the whole, like we talked about last week, like the whole movie, like, you know, we're in, you know, like maybe halfway through the movie right now. How's it going to turn out?
Yeah, and the quarterbacks are the headliners, if you will. C.J. Stroud is the headliner, and he's going to get most of the attention and most of what's talked about on SportsCenter tonight, and highlights will be about him. And, you know, the Panthers are out there en masse. They had, what, 15 people or something like that, we heard. And, you know, what their priority is, they trade up to number one. So, you know, their needs are obvious, and what their moves were made for seem to be pretty obvious. So, yeah, but you're right. I mean, that's a great point. It's not just about the first rounders. It's not just about, you know, these guys at the top of the draft. It's about, hey, we like this linebacker in the second or third round if they're available. We like this defensive tackle if he's available in the second or third round. So that's a great point. One other from John, just talking about having to be more thorough in their evaluations when they're picking in this spot that they haven't picked at since he's been there with Pete.
You're studying, you're preparing, there's more in-depth study of those players that, you know, you have to cover all those players. You have to be ready for those players when you're picking at, you know, 25, 28, 22. You know, I mean, just because there's 32 first-round slots, that doesn't mean there's 32 first-round players every year. Some years you might have 34, some years you might have 16 or 12 or whatever. You know, it depends on the class. So it's more like a thoroughness. We have to be more thorough on those players at the top of the draft, because we don't necessarily know how it's going to fall.
Yeah, well, and I think one thing that'll never happen to John Schneider and his staff is something like that happens. You know, there's unexpected things that happen on draft day, and, you know, all of a sudden somebody falls to a spot, and like, oh, what do we know about this guy? Let me get on the internet here and see.
Yeah.
They already have a whole book on the guy. So, yeah, be prepared for all kinds of, have to be sort of nimble. You know, being able to adjust and find a guy. Maybe you get that spot and somebody else wants him and trades up. So, yeah, there's so many things. It just sounds really confusing to me. You know,
I mean, it's a lot of homework, man. It's a lot of study. It's a lot of travel. It's a lot of, yeah. I mean, if you're the Panthers, you got 15 people out there, do they all get into a room? All right, guys, let's gather our notes. Everybody, yeah. I want everybody's opinion on C.J. Stroud. I want everybody's opinion on Njigba. I want everybody's – I don't know how they, you know, gather all the information, sift through it, come to a consensus, come to some feeling about here's who we like in this pick, here's who we like if he's available here.
Yeah.
That's a lot, man. It's and there's all the misdirection that goes on before the draft that we talked about as well. You know, I wonder if they're in there talking about, hey – you see Schneider over there? There were like him and 10 other people from the Seahawks there. Are they going to make a move? Are they going to take the – I mean, I would love to hear those. We always talk about the conversations we'd love to be privy to, just sit in the corner and listen. I'd love to hear that. Just, all right, what's being talked about? You had your whole contingent out there. What's the conversation after that?
Yeah, well, and then also just the fact that how quiet they keep it. I like the story where, you know, where – Scott Fitterer told us, like, I didn't know you were going to do that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Like, yeah, you taught me well, because you don't say anything. So, yeah, that kind of, there's a lot of information, a lot of stuff going down. You look at, I talked about the time that I was, you know, whatever, trying out to be a scout. And, you know, all I did was sit in a room for 6 hours and I looked at four players and just, you know, looked at three, four, five, six games.
So on that note, too, remember John Schneider tomorrow to lead off the show because he is all those pro days. He's got to squeeze them in. Yeah. So John Schneider will join us tomorrow to lead off the show at 2 o'clock.
Okay. So he'll lead off and he'll tell us exactly what he thought of every player he saw and where he'd like to take him. Right.
That's exactly right.
So stay tuned for that.
Well, we don't want to, you know, piss off the 509 because he didn't remember. There was somebody that was mad that we didn't ask who they were.
Oh, yeah, that's right. That's right. God forbid you get the 509 mad at you, Dave. It's hard to get out of that doghouse.
Love the 509.
Yes, we do. All right, coming up, NFL minds are split on what the best pick for this Seahawks team is at number 5. And we're going to hear two very different opinions on it when we sweep the dial. Coming up with Wyman and Bob live from Peoria, Arizona. This is Seattle Sports on 710.
Scanning the airwaves for the most interesting and entertaining stories of the day. Sweeping the dial every afternoon at 4:45 with Wyman and Bob.
Well, take this with a grain of salt because it's Dan Orlovsky who was on with Brock and Salk this morning. And we know he has questionable theories on food, on showering.
He's a hot take guy. Hot takes.
He has some interesting opinions, but he did weigh in with Brady and Brock this morning on whether the Seahawks could take a quarterback at number 5.
If they think that Anthony Richardson, because here's my point, Brock, as well with Anthony, I don't know how he fails. Like, you're talking about a kid that is big, strong, fast, powerful, athletic, natural thrower, highly intelligent, great character, tremendous work ethic. Can he fail? Sure. I just don't think the likelihood of it is very high. So if you're sitting there and you view him the same way I view him, and you have a luxury of not forcing him on the field in September, and you sit there and go, we have him rated as the number one player on our draft board. And the guys that are available at 5 right now, we don't think as highly of, then you take them.
Well, is he kind of stating the obvious there, Dave? If John and Pete have him rated number 1 and he's sitting there at 5, they're going to take him, right?
Yeah. I don't. Yeah, I mean, look, they always say they're going to take the best player. If he's the best player right there, then, you know, yeah, it'd be a good opportunity. But they did just sign Drew Locke. So,
1 year deal.
Yeah, but I still, like, what do you do with him? I mean, it's not a whole lot of money, but. Yeah, I don't know. It just I feel like they have too many other spots to fill. But watch, they'll draft him, and I'll be like,
as soon as we're convinced they're not.
And you know what I'm going to say, Bob? I'm going to say I knew it.
Yeah,
yeah.
You speak
absolutely
the opposite, and it'll come true.
Yeah.
Sweeping the dial.
So ESPN's Todd McShay, he was the guy kind of early on who brought up, well, there could be some character issues around Jalen Carter, and he got some backlash for that. Well, it turns out maybe there are some. We don't know, but there's some question marks around Jalen Carter. Well, Todd McShay today said there's a key date that teams are waiting on that still has to happen with Jalen Carter.
There were character issues before this incident. In this incident, there's a lot of information that will still come out. We're going to find out some things, I think, on April 18th. I think there's an arraignment, or I'm not good with the legal information, so don't quote me on it. But I think it's April 18th, which is, you know, just before the draft. So you've got all these NFL teams kind of waiting to see what's going to happen.
That's intriguing. April 18th, what's the date of the draft again? Like the 28th or something like that?
Yeah, like the 26th.
26th and 7th, I think.
Yeah, so yeah, it'll be interesting to hear that. I mean, look, there's that. If there's issues off the field, that are, there's more than that. I would just say, based on what KJ saw, what I saw, as far as not a lot of reps on the field, you know, one of the snap counts I saw, he played like 20 snaps a game. He could have maybe not been in shape even during the season. He wasn't in shape during the pro day. I don't know how you fall that far out of shape. You know, who knows what? There's all kinds of on the field issues. Really, like him not having a great motor, him taking.
In the first part of that cut, he said there were issues prior to this incident.
Right.
And then we had that cut from the guy, I always forget his name, talked about a pattern. There's a pattern.
Jim Nagy.
Yes, Jim Nagy. I don't know why that name doesn't stick, but it just doesn't. So that's two people we've heard. Talked about a pattern. And right here, you heard him talking about, it's not about this one thing. There were things going on prior to that. I feel like the more I hear, the more reluctant I am. Initially, it was like, oh, they'll never have a chance at Jalen Carter. Wouldn't that be great? Oh, man, but that's kind of a daydream. And now it's like, yeah, if he's there, I don't know how excited I am. I mean, I like what he could potentially be, but what you told me about his film, what we're hearing people say about a pattern and all of these different things, and then hearing KJ, and we saw the workout that he couldn't finish. I'm a little gun shy.
Sheesh, April 18th. I mean, wow. That's I'm going to be really excited the night before. It's going to be like Christmas Eve.
Sweeping the dial.
Well, and then the counter of that, because that was ESPN's Todd McShay, and then on NFL Network, Daniel Jeremiah and Bucky Brooks mentioning, well, okay, Jalen Carter, this would be a dream for the Seahawks.
Jalen Carter just feels like a Pete Carroll, you know, dream fit. I mean, with Seattle.
I mean, why not? Because they take players and they believe in their plan, and
they believe in their culture too.
Yeah, I mean, so they believe that they have the right spot for Jalen Carter to maybe come in there and flourish. And from a fit standpoint, he fits how they want to play on defense. They need to get better against the run. They also need someone who may have some pass rush potential on the inside. Jalen Carter would be, they would run the card up, in my estimation, if he's there and available at five.
There's Pete sprinting.
Yeah, yeah.
Here you go. The pick is in.
Yeah. They won't wait the full 10 minutes. Although I believe whoever broadcasts at ESPN or NFL Network, they like to stretch out the drama a little bit. But all of that doesn't matter if, number one, there's stuff off the field and you never get him on the field. He does, look, when he decides to go, and he's got great stuff, like a pitcher.
Yeah.
I mean, he's got a swim move. He's got a bull rush. He's got everything, and he's hard to block. But, you know, all of that is for naught if you can't get him to get in shape and to get him to just love football. He just has to inherently love it. So, and, you know, like a lot of guys, look at Bobby Wagner. Like, one of the things about Bobby Wagner is that he likes to play every snap, you know, and to me, that's like it's a source of pride for him. And, you know, I was just talking about the snap count earlier, that with Jalen Carter, he's not out there for every... I hated getting taken off the field for... You know, I played on nickel for a while, meaning when I got older, I was not on...
Right.
I was a two-down linebacker, and I hated it because you have to come off the field. And seems like he doesn't really care.
Can that be taught? Can you teach, can you change somebody, or do you think this is inherent to who he is? He's this guy. Or do you think all of this negative attention, whether it's about the incident, whether it's about his work ethic, whether it's about whatever, that he can go in there and go, you know what, I'm on a mission to just change this perception of me, and Pete Carroll can flip the script for him?
He's going to have like an epiphany. You know, something, maybe somebody says something to him about what an unbelievable opportunity this is for him. So, but other than that, no, I don't think you can, you know, have him. He knows. He should know anyway right now that how much is at stake right now.
All right. Coming up, we know you're going to enjoy hearing from this guy. Had a chance to speak with him before the show and record this interview. Andrés Muñoz, one of the best bullpen arms in all of baseball. Had a great conversation with him. You're going to hear it next with Wyman and Bob. This is Seattle Sports on 710.